Okay, we're gonna have to pay hay this evening, and Yosef's here now. All right, so I'll begin on the solid. We have the memory from Amr of Yirmashu Elohal Pikuach, and when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, when a person's life is
totally losing the sound here.
We weren't able to hear where you started.
Okay, the shul's internet is weaker, and that's we used to be on a different internet. Okay, so we're on Pei Dalet Amud Beis 84:10. Okay, everybody good?
Looks like everybody's
getting frozen out here. All right, we'll see how this goes.
We weren't able to hear it again. Can you repeat?
Karov. Then Shmuel says, "Lo hal b'pikuach nefesh karov." That when it comes to saving a Jewish life, we don't follow majority. Meaning, even if there's 9 goyim and 1 Jew, and we don't know who is under the rubble, we still violate Shabbos in order to save potentially the 1 Jew. Okay, now we'll skip down to 3 lines from the bottom. Umiyamar Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say that? Patsan. We learn in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Masechet Machshirin. It says, "Matzaba tinok mushla." If a person, if there was a child that was, it's a city where Jews and non-Jews live, and it's the child that's like cast aside. Imrov kutim kuti. We don't know the circumstances yet, and we must be patient. We don't understand the Mishnah. Matzaba tinok mushla. If you find a child that's thrown aside. Imrov kutim kuti. If most of the people in the town are non-Jews, we assume it's a non-Jewish child. Imrov Yisrael Yisrael. If most of the people are Jewish, we assume it's a Jewish child. Mechsa al mechsa. If the population is divided 50-50, Yisrael. Then we assume it's a Jewish child. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Va'amarav lo shtanu ella hachayoto. Aval yachasolo. So Rav is focused on the second phrase in the Mishnah, which is Imrov Yisrael Yisrael. Rav says, and we said that Rov Yisrael, we assume it's a Jew, that's Loshano Elachayoto, to sustain the child, to keep it alive. Aval Yachaso Lo, but in order to say that it's like Jewish genealogically, Akvikach wouldn't go. So if the child grows up, okay, on 84B, the bottom line, okay, pay dollar on base. Okay, so.
Is it possible for
please,
you?
Please, just 1 minute. What?
Possible for you to face the screen because when you're facing away, it's hard to hear.
All right, is this better?
Much better, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So the Gemara says, so Rav says, Lo shanu elaha chayoto, that was only said in terms of sustaining the child, keeping the child alive, aval yachaso lo, but for his genealogical, his ancestry, his status, we wouldn't say that he's Jewish, meaning if it's a girl, and then she would convert to Judaism when she gets older. So we wouldn't assume that she was necessarily really Jewish. We'd say she's a convert and that she can't marry a Kohen. Now, and then the top line, 1 minute, on Pei Hamad Aleph, Ushmul Amar Lefatikech Alav Ragal. Now, Shmuel, we think, is referring to the same phrase. In Rov Yisrael, Yisrael, Shmuel says that Din is talking about to rescue somebody on Shabbos. So based on this, it sounds like we think that Rav is just saying we would sustain the child to support it, not necessarily that we would, you know, be Michal Shabbos for this child. That's the way we think. And Shmuel says that to dig it out. So what's wrong? Okay.
So he says, okay. What? You're not going to drink it. You're not supposed to drink here. You're not going to drink here, and you're going to put your mask on the outside because half of Grebek is infected with Delta.
Okay.
Or I'm going to take it away.
All right.
What? You're not a member of the shul.
All right.
No, Rabbi Goldstein.
Yeah. I understand. Okay. So, Yosef, when you have to wear the mask. Okay. I got it. And so let's keep everybody patient. Okay. So the top line, PM, Shmuel says that it's the din to like dig out through the pile to save somebody on Shabbat. Okay, so we think that there's machloka between Rav and Shmuel if it's Rov Yisrael. We think that Rav says, I can't save him on Shabbos because doesn't hold that way. That's the way Rav understands the Mishnah. And Shmuel says, no, it means the Fakeh Chalav Gal. But the point is that Shmuel is following the Rov. And we said before that Shmuel said that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, Lo Halku Bau Pikuach Nefesh Shachar Rov. So the Gemara says, Ki Itmar de Shmuel Aresha Itmar. So the Gemara says, we misunderstood Shmuel's statement. Shmuel was not saying, going on the second clause in the Mishnah, which is Rov Yisrael Yisrael. Shmuel was going on the first clause in Rov Kutim Kuti. If most of the people are non-Jews, let me assume he's a non-Jew. He says, in Rov Kutim Kuti. So Amar Shmuel, so concerning that phrase, Shmuel says, Ulinim Pikuach Nefesh Eino Chayim. So for Pikuach Nefesh, it's not that way. In other words, that for Pikuach Nefesh, even if it's not, even the majority is non-Jew, we would still save him. So stated this way, then we can reinterpret Rav's statement. Again, Rav's statement is on the second statement, Rov Yisrael Yisrael. So Rav could be saying that if it's the majority Israel, then we would rescue him on Shabbos. That's the way we'll understand it now. And Shmuel is saying even the majority not Israel will rescue him on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, Imrov Kutim Kuti Lamai Hilchato. So now, once you said that for Kuach Nefesh, so the Mishnah says, if most of the people are non-Jews, we treat him as a non-Jew. So for saving somebody who's buried under rubble, we're not following the majority like that. So what is the halakha? In which the Mishnah says, Imrov Kutim Kuti. If most people are non-Jews, we treat this person as a non-Jew. It's talking about a child. We treat the child as a non-Jew. Most of the people are kutim. So it's not talking about saving him on Shabbos. So what is it talking about? Rov kutim kutim l'maya hilchato. Amar papa la'achilo nebelot. So papa says it means that if we find this child and most of the people in town are not Jewish, then we're permitted to feed him non-kosher meat. Now, im rov Yisrael Yisrael l'maya hilchato. So what about the halacha im rov Yisrael Yisrael? How will Shmuel explain that line? And most of the people in Israel, so there is like a Jew, my hilchata, lahachsilo avedato, meaning that if this person, the child grew up or whatever, and we don't know whether he's Jewish or non-Jewish, but if most of the people in town are Jews, so then we would return his aveda. In other words, there's only a thief to return the aveda, the lost object of a Jew, not of a non-Jew. He says, then the last clause in the Mishnah is Mechsa al Mechsa Yisrael, half, so we treat him as Yisrael, Lamai Hilchatav. What halacha is that relate to? So Amri Shlakish, the Nezikin. That would relate to the dinim of Nezikin, means like civil damages, and we'll explain in a minute. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Inema Denache Torah Didan, the Torah Didain. Now, under Jewish law, if a Jew's shore gores a non Jew shore, so then there's no recovery. So he says, "In name of the Nachi Torah on the Torah Diday, Neti Raya Vinishkol." So if one of our shore, like a Jewish owned shore, gored this child's shore, and it was a town that was Mechsa Mechsa Yisrael, so if he wants to recoup, so he should bring proof that he's Jewish. In other words, why would we say Mechsa Mechsa Yisrael? He should bring evidence that he's Jewish. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, the Nachei Torah Didei, the Torah Didan. So the Gemara says, no, the case that the Mishnah is referring to is his shore. In other words, he grew up, he had a shore. And we don't know whether he's Jewish or not Jewish, but it was Mechs al Mechs, it was 50-50. So it's feeling like Israel, meaning if his shore bore a Jewish owned shore, so he says, Palge Yayivle, so he owes half, because that Badai, if it's a short time, he owes Chatzi Nezek. But if he's non-Jew, he owes full Nezek. So Ida Palga, Nemelay, so in terms of the other half of Nezek, he, the defendant, who's this child that grew up, can say to the plaintiff, Aiti Raya Delav Yisrael and Ashkol, so bring evidence that I'm not a Jew, and then take it. In other words, so we'll default over under those circumstances to say he's Jewish. In other words, if his shore, or it's another Jewish shore, so if he's a full-fledged Jew, he's Chayav Chatzit Nezek. If he's a non-Jew, he's Chayav Chatzit Nezek Shalom. So we're going to say that he's Chayav Chatzit Nezek, and as far as the other half is concerned, So the burden of proof shifts over to the plaintiff to prove that he's a non-Jew. Okay, so that's the way the mission is going with that. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? But, right, that's correct. By Pikuach Nefesh, right. Okay, all right. Okay, are we good? Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, we're on Tei Haman Aleph, around the 10th line. Okay, everybody good? Okay, so the middle we've done Tei Gimel, just a few lines in the middle. Turn back to Tei Gimel. So near the small Zion, it says, I'm in the Mishnah on Tei Gimel and Aleph, near the Zion. Mishnah Flava Polet, if like a whole structure or whatever fell down, a pile of rubble fell on somebody, Safek Busham, Safek Enosham. It's a Safek whether he's there. We don't know if he's under the pile or not. Safek Chai, Safek Meit. It's Safek whether he's alive or whether he's dead. Safek Kuti, Safek Yisrael. It's a Safek whether the person on the pile is a Jew or a non-Jew. The Fachin Lav Regal. We could dig it out, even though we'll be violating Shabbos by doing that. Mitzu Chai, if we find that he's alive, the Fachin, then we'll dig him out. Bimeit Yanichu. But if we see that he's dead, we'll leave him there. Okay, turn back to Tehei Amid Aleph, 85a. 10 lines from the bottom. Mishnah Pol Bechule. So the Gemara says, Maika Amor. One of those, what is the Mishnah getting at with all these different sfeikot? So the Gemara says, Lomi Baye Kamar. It means like it goes without saying. Lomi Baye Safek Usham, Safek Enosham, the Ita Chayhu Dipfakin. In other words, it goes without saying, we don't know whether he's there or not, but if he is there, we evaluate that he would be alive. So certainly we'll dig him out from the rubble. Even if we know he's there, but we don't know if he's alive or dead, then we be fucked. And it goes out saying if we don't know he's alive or dead, he's Israel, but if we know he's Jewish. Even if we don't know if he's a Jew or a non-Jew, we'll dig him out from the pile. Okay, everybody good? Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, what's up? Who was again? Yeah. Right. This was on Shabbat or Sunday? We discussed this at the Daf Yomi here. We said that's not the same thing. In other words, here's something about you don't know if he's a Jew or a non-Jew. We're talking about you know the person's a non-Jew. In other words, Hatzalah. Yeah. So that's based on.
We talked about Ava.
Right. So Fern said it's based on Ava. We're afraid that the Goyim will have like the program with her. Okay. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. We're around 20 lines down on Peham and Aleph. Okay. Mitzau Chai Mitfachin. We said if we find him alive, we'll dig him out. Mitzau Chai Pshita. So they said that's obvious that we would dig him out. Lo Tzricha the Fidel Chai Shah. Even if we evaluate that this person is only going to live another, let's say, 5 or 6 hours, so we would still dig him out. And we'll talk more about that shortly. In other words, even for Chai Sha'a, we can violate Shabbos, even when we're only going to save the person for a little bit limited life. We'll talk about that hopefully later on. Okay, if he's dead, then we have to leave the body where it is. So the Gemara says, Hanami Chit, that's also obvious that if he's dead, we're going to leave it. Lo Tzricha, and the Bachaz El Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish. It's necessary to say that for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The Tani would learn the Braisa. Now, this is talking about you have somebody who's dead and a fire breaks out. And we're not talking about doing it. The only Easter's involved that the mace is muksa. That's the key. The mace is muksa. We want to carry the mace to a place where you're allowed to carry, but the mace is muksa. So the Tana Kama says, that we don't move a dead person because of the fire. In other words, there would be a horrible situation where you leave them there. So Amr Yudvan Lakish, Yudvan Lakish says, and again, this is still part of the Braisa, Amr Yudvan Lakish, Shemat Shematzilimate Mnei Adlaika. I've heard that we do save because of a fire. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. So that's the end of the brisa. So he says, "Vapilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish lo ka'amar el mitosh adam bahul meito." In other words, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is concerned because a person is for tumult on the person that may get burned. In other words, it's
presumably like maybe somebody he's very close to, could be one of his close relatives. So he says, so if we don't let him move the dead body, he's going to like douse out the fire and be over an Easter Doraita. In other words, it'll be Chayav for Mechaba on Shabbat. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says he heard. In other words, we're thinking if we tell people, don't move the body. So they're from people and they listen to us, but they're so like emotionally distraught. They're going to, if we say, don't move the body, they'll take out a hose or whatever and try to douse out the fire, and then they'll be over on a Easter Deraisa for Bimacham and Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, Halacha is we let him move. We let him do this one Easter to move the Muktzah on Shabbat. That's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says. But the Gemara says, about Hafa Yidol Sharit Le, Ma Yidle in the Mebad. Now here, with the, So we said that in Meit Anichu, the Mishnah says if the person's dead, we have to leave him there. So the Gemara says that's also pshita. It's obvious that we leave him there. So the Gemara says, no, it's necessary because we know the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds, under certain circumstances, you could move the maid if there would be a fire. But even Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, in this instance, we can't move the body. So why not? Well, hafi ilo sharit lemai itle lemebad. In other words, what would be the worst? In other words, over there, the worst case scenario, if we don't let him move the body, we're afraid he's going to do makaveh. What are we afraid about here? So here, the only issue would be that the person might continue to dig him out. In other words, we'll say, you know, don't dig him out, but we'll say dig it out. So the Mefarshim say that the digging out here is an Iser Derabanan. That's the way the Mefarshim say on this. Now, it's a little tricky because in the Mishnah, it sounded like it was the Iser Deraisa. So they said, in other words, what would be the Easter in terms of Mefakin Labragal? The Chor would be like Chafira, like a told of Choresh. So what I saw is like if you would take a shovel, that might be an Easter Doraisa. If you take it with your hands, that might be an Easter Durabanan. So here, at most, it would be a Durabanan versus Durabanan. So we leave everything in situ. We say Choresh is plowing, but a told of. Okay, I understand. A told of Choresh is Kofar, in other words, right? In other words, we have this in Shabbos that a Kofar could be a told of Choresh. So if I dig a hole, but I'm saying if I'm uncovering the person, that's Kofar, that's the digging out. So that would be Kofar. So it depends on the keli that might be used. But anyway, the point is that we don't let the person dig out the person if it's a dead body. All right. Are any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay. So back in the Gemara, we're around midway down the column. Okay, so Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, at Heichan Hu Bodeg. Now, a person is digging, and he finds a body. He doesn't know whether it's alive or dead. So how far does he dig to determine whether it's alive or dead? So ad chotamot. So the Tanakhama says up until his nose, and you see whether he's breathing or not. You know, so like frequently, in, like we'll see in the Gemara, but frequently in Halakha, like you know, they would like hold like not digging a person out from a pile, but you know, see whether a person is alive or dead. Like you know, they would use the feather and put it near the nostrils, see if there's neshama, if there's breathing coming up. Some say you dig up until the heart, and presumably you check. You know, on the heart to see if there's like a beat. He says, "Badak matza elyonim meitim." If a person is digging through rubble, and this, I guess we're all thinking about that surfside thing. He says, "Lo yamark bar meitu atachonim." So if I dig and I find people dead on top, I shouldn't say, "Oh, that's it. I'm not digging anymore," because he says, "Masa yo matza elyonim meitim atachonim chayim." There was an incident where they found that the upper people were dead and the lower people were alive, and I'm sure many people hope that's the way with this thing in Surfside. Okay, so that's the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Neima hani tanai ki hani tanai. Should we say that the machloka tanai we saw above, that whether we, what's the litmus test to see whether a person's alive or dead, is the chotam or the heart, should we say that tracks the following machloka tanayim? Tatani, we learn in the Braisa, Mehechan of Lad Notzar. Where is the fetus formed from? May Rosho. So the first opinion says from his head. Shneamar imeimi ata gozi. From my mother's womb, you pulled me out, is the way we'll say. Yomer gozi nizrech bashlichi. A different pasuk says like pull out Nizrechus, your hair, and throw it. So since gozi is used with the head, so it's like it's mashma, but the first pasuk maybe atah gozi, that you're pulling me out, but like the head is the ikar in terms of where of yitzira. That's the way the Gemara takes it. In other words, from my mother's womb, he takes it, you form me from the head. Abba Shaul omer mitiburo. Abba Shaul says that the fetus is formed from the navel. And he sends forth like its roots here and there. So we think right now that the one that says the head would go with the idea of the nostrils, and the one that says mitibro would go with the idea with the libo. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Afilu tema Abba Shaul. You can even say that Abba Shaul who said mitibro could agree here, you go with Chotamo. Over there, he's just talking about the formation of the fetus. The chomidi mitziate mitzar. Everything is formed from the center. When it comes to whether a person is alive or dead, even Abba Shaul could agree that the ikar is the nostrils. Everything that had nisham ba'apav. Remember this by the Mabul. In other words, he says, Amara Papa, Rapapa says the machloket in the Brisa, whether you go with Chotamo or Libo, machloket mimata lamala. The Brisa is talking about you're digging and you find a body and you come up the legs first. In other words, maybe the body is like lying, you know, like legs are higher than the head. So you're digging from the top. So you come from the lower part of the body first. So there, one opinion says that you have to dig the whole time out. You can't stop digging until you get to the nostrils. And one says, once you get to the chest and you don't sense a heartbeat, then you call it a day. He says, aval mimal lamata, but if you were digging and the body was like, you know, heads up more, he says, came at the body, chotamo, shubin otzareth. Once you get to the chotam, in other words, the chotam is definitely a wonderful litmus test, whether there's breathing. So once you get to the chotam and there's no breath coming from the chotam, you don't have to dig anymore. Okay, and then there are tshuvas that you know from Ramosha that let's say like today they have different tests where to test other things. They quote it here in the art straw. One second.
Why does
give you one second? I'll get you 1 second, Fern. Okay. Okay. He says, He says, however, in light of technological advances that make it possible to detect a heartbeat electrically, even when it's no longer detectably manually, that even if a person has stopped breathing, he's not considered to be dead, as long as the electrocardiogram continues to register a heartbeat. That's from the Trooper Moshe. And he says, there's a ruling regarding signs of brain activity detected by means of electroencephalogram and regarding persons attached to a respirator. Okay, so what do you want to say, Fern?
That why, when you, to determine whether a person is alive or dead, do you go to the source of Yetzira? That, I didn't understand that jump. I don't think the Gemara really held that was what you were going to do anyway.
In other words, we thought initially, like the place that the Yetzira begins, that will be the place
where the life ends.
If that part is not showing signs of life, we thought that means that he's dead. That's what we thought.
All know that breathing and heart activity is and brain activity is the source of it. It doesn't matter where Yetzira was.
Well, all right, but this.
All right, okay.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? What? All right.
I was just going to say that the story is very reminiscent of a tragedy that it was covered in yesterday's paper, of a horrendous plane crash in Peru where the plane split apart. And the lone survivor was a 17-year-old girl. And she found, and they were she was saved because the seats she was attached to covered her. Yeah. Then she found another series of seats, and there were two or three people underneath who were, their heads were submerged, their feet were exposed, and in order to see if it was her mother, because she knew her mother was dead, she had to look at the feet, and what determined it was not her navel, but the nail polish, the lack of nail polish on the feet. I mean, it's just a hot deal, but it's just...
I mean, that's talking about identifying the body. We're talking about determining whether the person's alive.
I understand.
Okay, and I think that incident took place like 30 years ago, didn't it?
It did, but the story was because of a follow-up with the woman when became apart.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, we're on the last narrow line of Pei Hei Mod Aleph, okay? 85A, last narrow line, okay? All right, now the Gemara is shifting gears slightly and is taking up the topic, how do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? That's the topic. How do we know Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? All right, so the Gemara says, Ukvari Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva Rablazim and Azari Mahalchim Vederek. Rabbi Shmuel, three Tanayim, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Blas ben Azari were walking on the pathway. Levi Hasadar, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Blas ben Azari, Mahalchan Achrayim. And Levi Hasadar is the Levi, the organizer. It's not so clear what he did. And they saw one explanation. They said that he would organize the brises or whatever. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Blas ben Azari was walking behind them. The Shalashi Lazubif Nehem. The question was raised, Minayin Pikuach Nefesh at Dochara Shabbat. How do we know that Pikuach Nefesh, you know, overrides Shabbos? So Nana Rabbi Shmuel Ba'amar, Imamachter Imatsei Ganav. So Rabbi Shmuel said, there's a pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, it says, if somebody's tunneling into somebody's house, Reuven will be the thief, and Shimon will be the balabas. So Reuven is tunneling in to steal money from Shimon. So then the pasuk says, in hukavameh, in lo damim. So if Shimon kills Reuven, Shimon is patur. In other words, Shimon's within his rights to kill Reuven, who's like the robber. Umazish safek al mamon ba, safek al nefashot ba. So it's a safek whether Reuven is breaking in for money or has intent to murder somebody. Ushvichut damim et tamed aretz. Shvichut damim, murder or taking a life, is a horrible aveira. It defiles the land. Vigorim l'shchinesh tzuspalek m'Yisrael. And it causes the Shekhinah to leave Klal Yisrael. So you're going to do this, what would otherwise be a terrible aveira, by taking someone's life. But he says, Nitan la tzlo b'nafsho. But if I can nevertheless take his life, you know, to save my own life, if Shimon could take Reuven's life to save Shimon's life, Kavachomel pikuach nefesh shadokhar Shabbat. So if I'm allowed to take a life for to save my life, alachas, and that's a horrible aveira. So kama I could be Michal Shabbos to save a life. That's the raya. Okay, that's the first raya. Okay, now two lines from the bottom. Nene Rabbi Kiva Amar, Rabbi Kiva, he had a different answer. It's interesting that these two are both in Parsha Mishpatim, and neither one really has anything to do at first blush with like Shabbos. This is means if a Kohen is suspected of murder. So, and he went in to do a vote in the base of Mikdash, I can pull him out and stand trial before Bezdin. Me'im is b'chi, v'lo me'alm is b'chi. But the Gemara darshens out, if he's there, he's near the Mizbeach, I'll pull him out. But if he's on the Mizbeach, actually doing the Avoda, I can't pull him out to try him at that moment. He says, v'am a'rab v'ar b'rachan on Rabbi Yochanan l'shanu el l'hamid. So Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, you're right, in order to execute somebody, in other words, to try him for murder, I can't pull him out. Aval, on Pei Hei Amud Beis, the top line, Aval HaChayot, but if the purpose of pulling him away, in other words, in the Avoda, is so chamor, I can't pull anybody away from doing the Avoda, because the Avoda has to be completed. Aval HaChayot, if the purpose is that this person has an argument or a testimony that could save somebody who's on trial, Afil Me'alm is V'chi, then even in the middle of the Avoda, if, in other words, if he's going to save a life, his presence will save somebody's life. Even in the middle of a boat, I can pull him away. So here, with this person, that we want to pull away, you know, to help us out with the trial, is the topic whether his arguments will be successful or his testimony. Va'avodah docha shabbat. And the avodah is docha shabbat. So this, in other words, saving the life is docha avodah. We'll make like a totem pole. In other words, on the bottom we have Shabbos. On top of that, we do the avodah. The avodah, we do avodah with that would otherwise violate Shabbos. We have malachos that involve the avodah. So the avodah is docha shabbos. And this issue to save somebody's life is docha the avodah. So if it's docha the avodah to save somebody's life, certainly it's docha shabbos. Tavachom and the pikuach nefesh is docha shabbat. So that's the second proof that pikuach nefesh is, you know, docha shabbos. The saving life is, you know, trumps Shabbos. Or the fourth line from the top. So each chacham is giving his answer. So we went through, again, we had three chacham and they were walking. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So now we're up to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Nene Rabbi Elazar ba'amar, uma mila shi'echad ma'atam yarbi b'shvonei varm shabadam. Mila means like circumcising a child that's on one of 248 avarim. So Chazal teaches there are 248 avarim. So the mila is on one of them. Docha Shabbat. Mila is Docha Shabbos, that we know. So I could do, I'm obligated to do Mila on Shabbos. Kavachomer l'chugufo shedocha Shabbos. So if I'm Docha Mila, say one Aver, or to do a mitzvah with one Aver, so his whole body certainly is Docha Shabbos to save the person. Just for a minute. He says, Rabbi Yossi, now we have other explanations, which this is not part of the group that was walking, but other Tanaim are quoted who have their own answers for why Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, or the source for it. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, et Shabtotai. Now we're going to Pesukim in Parshat Ki Tisa. It talks about Shabbos there. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at Shabtotai Tishmoru, you should observe my Shabbos. Yechol Lakol, I might think, under all circumstances, Tamalomar Ach Chalei. So it says, Ach et Shabtotai Tishmoru. So ach is always like a miut. It means that in some there's some limitation on it. So ach et shabbatai tishmoru, meaning you should observe Shabbos, but there's a situation where you don't observe Shabbos. So he takes it that case is where it's pikuach nefesh. Reb Yonatan ben Yosef Omer, and again this is continuing on with the same pesukim in Parshas Ki Tisa, he kodesh hi lachem. He says, Ushmartem ena Shabbat, kodesh hi lachem. You should observe the Shabbos because it's kodesh for you. He misur hi lachem. Ki kodesh hi lachem. It's yours. He misur b'yedchem. You are given, it Shabbos is given in your hands. Below atem misur b'yada. Not that you are like handed over to Shabbos. Shabbos is in your hands, meaning that there's a situation where you will be mechal Shabbos, and that would be where it's pikuach nefesh. Right, it's true. It says that, but it says ki kodesh hi lachem. Why does it say hi lachem? So he says Reb Shimon Manasseh Omer. Reb Manasseh says, and these are pesukim that we say every Friday night. Reb Shimon Manasseh Omer, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael tashabbat, that Klal Yisrael will observe Shabbos. Amrat Torah chalel lav Shabbat achad kidei shishmor Shabbatot harbe. The Torah is saying, there was the Shamaru b'nei Yisrael HaShabbat. Christ will observe the Shabbos. So violate one Shabbos so that this person, the person you're saving, will observe more Shabboses. Okay, now, this relates to what we said before about, violating Shabbos to save somebody for just a few hours. See, from this line, it sounds like I'm going to violate Shabbos. Let's say somebody is, you know, needs Hatzal on Shabbos. But even if I save him, I don't anticipate he's going to live more than a day or two. He won't make it till next Shabbos. So am I allowed to do that? So if I assume it's Chalel Shabbat from the Shabbat, Kedesh Shmor Shabbatot Harbei, so he's not going to observe any more Shabbos. That sounds like not that way. But if I say some of the other rayas, then I could save him. So we hope we do save the person. But
are you sure that he's not going to make more Shabbatot?
Let's say I know he's not going to make it. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. We'll come back, okay, based on time. Okay, on the first wide line on Peham and Beis. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa. So Am Rabbi Yudmar Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Ihavai Hatam, had I been there, Shmuel's an Amora, had I been among all of those Tanayim, Habamina Diti Adifamiti too, I would have said my proof that Pekuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos
is better than theirs. He says, why? B'chai b'hem lo shimut b'hem. My pasuk is, you live with the Torah, you don't die with the Torah. So b'chai b'hem, so you're going to be mechal Shabbos, so the person can live. That's b'chai b'hem lo shimut b'hem. It could be. Now, okay, now the second wide line. Now, Amarava, Lakulu Itlahu Pircha, Barmitshuad Light Light Pircha. Rava says that each one of the Raya has a weakness, has a kash against it, except for Shmuel, even though Shmuel's the Amora, his does not have a Pircha. He says, the Rebbe Shmuel, now remember, the first proof we gave was about Reuven who was tunneling into Shimon's house to rob the house. And we said that even though murder is a terrible thing, but Shimon can take his life, even though he doesn't know whether he's going to kill him or not. So he says, to Rabbi Shmuel, Dilma Kidarava, Dama Rava, Mai Tama Dabachteret, what's the reason why the Torah, according to Rava, says that a person's allowed to kill the robber? Chazaka in Damami Natsmomuno. There's presumption that a person is not going to stand idly by while his property is being taken. Bahai made the Yada the Kailape. So Reuven the robber knows that Shimon is going to defend his property. But Amar, and Reuven the robber says, he says, if he stands in my way, I'm going to kill him. But Torah Amra, the Torah says, somebody's going to kill you, you kill him first. You preempt him and kill him first. But Ashkan Badai Safek Benalan. So we want to prove not just that Pikuach Nefesh is Doka Shabbos, we want to prove that Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Doka Shabbos. So from that proof of Machteret, I only know with the Badai. In other words, where it's clear that the person's going to take his life, so then I can kill him. But if it's a Safek, I don't have a proof from that. Then he says to Rabbi Akiva Nami, now, Rabbi Akiva's proof was that we took the person from the on top of the Mizbeach who's going to give the exculpatory arguments or testimony and save a life. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Nami, Dilma Kida Abaye, maybe it's like Abaye says, the Amar Abaye, Maspin Le Zuga Durabana and Leida in Yesh Mamash Bivarav. Now, Abai is talking about when a person is being taken out to be executed. So if the Beis Din has already declared the Gemar Din and taking the person out to be executed, and then he says, I have an argument to believe Malami Tzachus on myself. I have an argument that I want to present to the Beis Din to be Malami Tzachus. So we bring him back even four and five times. So the Gemara says, but how do we know that there's any mamashus with what he's saying? So the in other words, we take him back, there has to be like some substance to his argument. So Abaye says, we send a pair of chachamim, tamid chachamim with him, to determine whether he's got like a plausible argument. Otherwise, we're going ahead with the execution. So the Mela here too, with this person that we're taking from on top of the Mizbeah to give the exculpatory evidence or argument in Beis Din, Rashi just said, as the bothered, the article said that he has testimony, but if you look in the Rashi, the top line of Rashi, says, he knows Zechus, it sounds like he knows a line of argument that could save the person. That's the way it sounds like to me. But he says here, so Mela, we could say that before they take him off the Mizbeach, they're like screening his argument to know it has mamashos. So Mela ba'ashkan vaday safek benalon. So the same thing. So I only see that if it's vaday going to save somebody's life, I could do it. But if it's a safek, I don't have any proof. B'kulu ashkan vaday safek benalon. And similarly, for all the other proof, we have a similar line of argument about the vaday and the safek. Meaning, let's say Mila, we said, is Docha Shabbos, but only Badai Mila is Docha Shabbos. If a child is born Ben Hashmashot, it's not Docha Shabbos. And each one of the other ones also the same way. So the Gemara says, Udishmuel, now, but Shmuel was Vachai Behem, Eloshi Amut Behem, Udishmuel Badai Late Late Pircha. Shmuel is no Pircha. In other words, the Torah is saying, we want you to live. And even if there's a Safik, we want you to live. Vachai Behem, Eloshi Amut Behem. So he says, Amar Ravina, V'yitem Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Ravina said, and others say that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said this, Tava Chara Pilpalta Charifa, one sharp pepper. And Rashi says, Garina Chad, like one kernel, I don't know if it's like a peppercorn, is better, Mimale Tzana Dikari, rather than a whole basket of gourds. In other words, even though these are all Tanayim and they had so much Torah, but Shmuel is like one sharp
argument was better than all of that. Okay. Who's the questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay. All right, let me just...
very strange that Chris Neal was really a specific trust, Yomash Mini.
Right.
So how did you get from Yomash Mini as a mitzvah daraita of Mila?
Right. Yeah, so the Gemara is saying...
I think that's a stretch, no?
Well, the Gemara is saying...
In
other words, if you're mitaking one aver, I want to be mitaking or fix one aver, I can be mitaking on Shabbos.
Right.
So, office kama kama, the whole body is going to drop dead. That's what the word is saying.
This is an example, right? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Huh? Yeah.
All right. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon Menashe derives halacha pituach nefesh over on Shabbos from the Shamru Bnei of the Shabbat. It's better to violate one Shabbos to facilitate the observance of many Shabbatot. Chalel Shabbat Achak, the Ishmael Shabbatot. The Meiri comments that even if it seems certain that the sick person will not live too much longer, one may still violate Shabbos to extend his life by a few hours. He explains that even though we will not be able to observe any more Shabboses, by extending his life we can facilitate the observance of other mitzvot. Even a mere few extra moments of life is worthwhile because the time can be utilized to repent and cleanse oneself of his sins. So that would be also a question. In other words, where you know that the person, unless you think maybe come out of the cult. Now, the Orach Chaim disagrees and remarks that according to Rishon Manasseh's Russia, we may not violate Shabbos to extend a sick person's life merely for a few hours or even a few days. He's of the opinion that Shabbos may be violated only for the purpose of facilitating additional Shabbos observance. So the Meiri was saying anything that he does is good, and so he could do something, so he's got it. And the Orach Chaim says, no, it's the Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah points out that if the patient is an infant or a shota, deranged, then even the Meiri would agree that Shabbos would not be violated. This is what you were saying. Not the same thing, but in other words, being in a coma is similar to being like shota in this sense. He says that Shabbos should not be violated to extend his life for a short period of time, since it will not facilitate any mitzvah observance at all. But I said maybe he can come out of the coma. The Beis Meir maintains that if the patient is a child who is being raised in a Gentile's home, kinuch shenishba bein akum, or in a home where mitzvahs are not observed, then violating the Shabbos is not permitted, since it will not facilitate any additional Shabbos or mitzvah observance. The foregoing discussion is relevant only according to the position of Rav Shimon ben Menashe, who bases the halacha of pikuach nefesh over on Shabbos on logic, halel of Shabbat akam kule. It's better to violate one Shabbos in order that one should observe many. Shulchan Aruch, however, follows the opinion of Shmuel, who derives the halacha from the pasuk b'chai by him, he should live by the laws of the Torah and not die by them. According to Shulchan Aruch, extending life of a critically ill man or infant, even for just a few moments, takes precedence over Shabbos observance, even though we do not expect the patient to be able to fulfill any more mitzvot. Now, the Gemara in Erechin on Daf Zayin indicates that if a woman in labor dies on Shabbos, it is permitted to violate Shabbos in an effort to save the life of the fetus. So the mother is dead, just woman and Yossi, and now the fetus. The Rush deduces from the fact that the preservation of an unborn fetus takes precedence over Shabbos that a fetus is considered a bona fide achai, a living human being. In other words, we're going to be machal Shabbos to help the fetus. The fetus is not life and being, but the halacha, it seems like it is. The Ramban maintains that even if a fetus is not considered a chai, Shabbos may be violated on his behalf because the Rav Shimon Menashe's logic, Halel of Shabbat Achat, Beishish Mor Shabbos Avod Arbei, violate one Shabbos for the observance of many Shabboses, he says, the rest of the fetus will eventually observe. Accordingly, argues the Ramban, it is even permitted to violate Shabbos for the sake of a fetus, which is within the first 40 days after conception, even though such a fetus is considered Maya Ba'alma, mere water, and halakha, has no halakhic significance, but it could observe Shabbos later on. Now, the Rashba considers whether one who was notified that missionaries are attempting to lure his daughter into embracing a foreign religion is permitted to violate Shabbos, example, travel by car, save her from their clutches. The Beis Yosef invokes the logic of Chalel Shabbat Achat Chulei and rules that it is worth violating one Shabbos to save her from losing an entire lifetime of Shabbos observance and mitzvot. So those missionaries are marking, well, rushing off of there. Yeah, I have a 90 seconds for questions. Yes, see what's up. Right.
So the same thing is that one of the rabbis said to him, I knew it in the future.
All right.
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, okay, Yossi was saying that we mentioned one opinion we quoted that if the person's being raised in a non-from home, that you shouldn't save his life on Shabbos. And Yossi was saying you don't know what the future will bring. That's the Beit Meir. The Beit Meir says that. Okay, all right, I got to keep moving now. Okay, everybody good? Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right, let's go on. We gotta go into this. Okay, we're on the Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah in the Masechta. We're going into the Kill, the 10th wide line, on Pei Hamad Beis. So Manitin, Chatat V'Yasham V'Adayim Mechaprin, means a Korban Chatat is when a person does an Aveira that B'mezit Ibichayiv Karet, or Asham V'Aday, or certain enumerated Aveira in the Torah, you bring a Korban Asham, like you have the Asham Shivcha Charufa, the Asham Nazir Mechaprin. They're Mechaper, but it means with Shuvah, because when you bring the Korban, you're Misvada Aveira on the Korban. Mita V'Yom HaKippur Mechaprin Imachuvah. Death or Yom Kippur are mechaper with the tshuva. So either tshuva and death, or tshuva and Yom Kippur, brings kapara. He says, tshuva mechaperet al aveir kalot al esei v'al lo ta'aseh. Tshuva by itself is mechaper for minor aveirot. Meaning, if you were vatel an esei, you didn't put on tefillin, you didn't wave lulav. He says, v'al lo ta'aseh, the Gemara is going to say, that we'll discuss it in tomorrow's daf, it's a lav anitak la'esei. If it's a lav anitak la'esei, and shuv alone, be mechaper on that. Yala chamurot, but if it's a more serious aveira, hu tola, or the Gersh Rush is shuvah's tola, means shuva will keep punishment in abeyance, ad shivo yom kippur im yichaper, and you need yom kippur as well. So you need shuva and yom kippur if you would transgress in one of the chamurot. Ha'omer echatav yeshuv, he must speak me do laso shuva. If a person, He's on a roll. He says, I'll sin and I'll do tshuva. I got this all figured out. You know, I'll eat treifus, I'll do tshuva. You know, I'll be mezana with a shiksa, I'll do tshuva. You know, I'll be mechal Shabbos, I'll do tshuva. So, ein maspik meidol so tshuva, meaning, min hashamayim, they won't open the doors for him to do tshuva. And the Rambam lists 24 things that are ma'akeh the tshuva, and one of them is the omer echatav yeshuv, meaning, it's much harder to do tshuva under those circumstances. And this will say similarly, if a person is on sin and Yom Kippur will be mechaper me, you know, like I think people sometimes in the non-from world, it'll be mechaper me, ein Yom Kippur mechaper, same idea. It's very difficult to do tshuva under those circumstances. If the aveir is between man and God, Yom Kippur means you kapara, obviously with tshuva. Averot shebein adam lechaveirao, if it's an aveira between man and his fellow man, I have to be meratzeh, I have to appease my friend, and he has to be mochel me. And again, you know, like sometimes people, like if the person's mochel you, he has to do it belayv. In other words, he just says the word I'm mochel you, but in his heart, he's not mochel you, that's not mechila. In other words, he has to feel that he's mochel you. He says, Darash Rablazim and Azarya, from all your aveira before Hashem, you'll become purified. In other words, l'fnei Hashem titaru. If it's only between you and Hashem, you'll be cleansed out. Same idea as we said before. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem Yisrael, l'fnei mi atem mitaru, mi mitaru etchem. Before whom are you mitahir? Are you cleansing yourself? And who cleanses you? Avichem shu ha-shamayim. Shnemar, v'zarati alichamayim torim utaritem. I, Hashem, will sprinkle you with you know, tower of water is like vision in Yechezkel. He says Utar Tem, but Omer Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. The pasuk says Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the hope of Yisrael is Hashem. But Mikveh means a mikvah. Ma Mikveh Mitayr Atzmei, Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitayr Yisrael. So too, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitayr Yisrael. I mean, there's a component that we have to do, and then Hashem is mechaper us. Okay, I have to run now. I apologize. Let me finish the.
Those
are or. It was tshuva and mita, or tshuva and yom kippurim. It doesn't mean both together. Okay? Although the Rambam does say there are some terrible aveirot, the Rambam, you have something in there, the Rambam says that there are some terrible aveirot, that even with mita, it's not mechaper, but here the pshat in the Mishnah is that it means mita and tshuva, or yom kippur and tshuva. All right, what? Okay, but an even and could be understood different ways. Okay, now the Gemara says, Asham Vadayin, Asham Talui Lo. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that if it's an Asham Vada, you get Kapara, and Asham Talui not. Asham Talui means I know I ate something, I don't know if it was Caleb or Shuman. So I bring the Asham Talui until I can be Mabarer it. This is about Kapara Ktivay, but it says Kapara about the Asham Talui. So the Gemara says, Hanach Makapri Kapara Gemura, means if it's the first two of Asham Vada or Chatad, that's complete Kapara, everything's cleansed out. Asham Talui, please everybody mute themselves. Asham Talui, Enu Mechaper Kapara Gemura. Asham Talui doesn't do a Kapara Gemura. Inami, Hanach Enacher Mechaper Kapara Tan. Or else I could say the other pshat is that by the Chatad and the Asham Vadai, that's the way it has to be. There's no other kapara for it. Asham Talui, Acher Mechaper Kapara Tan. Asham Talui, something else does do kapara. It's not. We learn the Mishnah. If I was chayiv the korban chatat or asham vadai when Yom Kippur came, I'm still chayiv the korban. He says ashamot taluyim paturim. But if I was chayiv an asham taluyim when Yom Kippur came, I'm not chayiv the asham talui anymore. So it could mean like that way. No, about mechaperin. Okay. Now mita v'yom kippur mechaperin matshuva. We said with tshuva, yeah, mita or tshuva Yom Kippur is mechaper. Ima tshuva im if they ask lo. So it sounds like with tshuva, they get the kapara, but by themselves not. Meaning, Yom Kippur by itself is not mechaper, and mita by itself is not mechaper. That's what the Gemara says. Name of the lo karebi. Should we say that our Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe? The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, al kol avirot shebetorah, bein asat tshuva, bein lo asat tshuva, Yom Kippur mechaper. Rebbe says, for every avir in the Torah, whether you did tshuva or you didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur brings you kapara, chutz, Niporek all, or some say loig al chabero, porek all, like you reject Hashem, like you know, like a person's chas shalom, like a atheist or something like that. Umgalim panim b'torah, or a person he like scoffs at explanations of the Torah. Umefer bit basar, he doesn't have a bris mila, or he undoes the bris mila. Shimasat shuva yom kum mechaper. For those of Eirod, he did shuva yom kum kapara. So we think our Mishnah that says you need tshuva in Yom Kippur isn't like Rebbe. Rebbe says Yom Kippur does the whole trick. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tema Rebbe." You could say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe, tshuva by Yom Kippurim, because Rebbe will say, if you do tshuva, you still need Yom Kippur. So that's what the way Rebbe could explain the Mishnah. In other words, you do tshuva, you still need Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim lo by a tshuva. But Rebbe just says, if I have a Yom Kippur, I don't need tshuva. In other words, if, let's say, the person did a terrible Avera in Sivan, and then he did Tshuva, which he should do Tshuva for it. No, something else. Yeah, he was Mechal Shabbos, B'Shogeg. Or even B'Mezid, he was Mechal Shabbos. So according to Rebbe, I said, everybody agrees I need to do Tshuva. So according to one shot, I'll do Tshuva, and then the Yom Kippur will bring me Kapara. According to Rebbe, even if I didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur would be in kapara. But if I did do tshuva, it means tshuva and Yom Kippur will bring me kapara. In other words, I could have done tshuva, and then Yom Kippur will be the icing on the cake, will bring me the kapara. You do need to do tshuva, because the mitzvah do the Torah to do tshuva. So if you didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur would be kapara. But even if you did do tshuva, you still need the kapara. So, you know what I mean? All right, we don't have a lot of time, but let's just focus on this once more. Okay. For certain Aveirot, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, we need Tshuva and Yom Kippur. So let's say you're Mechal Shabbos. So you need Tshuva and B'mezid. So you need Tshuva and Yom Kippurim. So everybody holds you should do Tshuva. Even Rebbe holds you should do Tshuva. Even Rebbe will say you should do Tshuva. Right. But Rebbe will say if you didn't do Tshuva, Yom Kippur will bring you Kapara. But let's say you did do Tshuva. So then when Yom Kippur comes, you'll get Kapara. That's what he's saying. So that's where the Mishnah we could read the Mishnah away to bring it in line with Rebbe. Okay, let me just do a few lines, that'll be it. Okay, now, four lines to the bottom. Tshuva mechaper l'aveirot kalah v'esev lo tasa. Tshuva brings you kapara for the minor aveirot, for the positive and lo tasa, the negative commandments. So now, right now, we think lo tasa means even a lo tasa that has malchut in it. So he says, hashta lo tasa mechaperet al esev mibaya. If Yom Kippur, if tshuva brings me kapara on a low tasa, certainly it brings me kapara on an essay, because there's no So if it brings me kapara on a lav or a chai malkot, certainly it'll be kapara on an essay where there's no fee of malkot. So why do I have to say both? I'm Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. Al essay v'alo tasa shnitat la essay. It means that tshuva is makapir if it's an essay, as mabakal an essay, or I did a low tasa shnitak la essay. I did a low tasa that was like, could be corrected by an essay. He says, like, low tatirim on a boker, don't leave it over till morning, turn a boker, shisrofu. So I left the korban over till morning, and let's say I didn't burn it in the morning, but I left it over till morning, so I can get kapara with tshuva. He said, but yeah, still have to return the stolen item. He says, now, the alota said gamor lo. You mean an actual lota says not need to say tshuva doesn't mean kapara. Uraminu, on this we ask a kash from the following brisa. Elohim kalot esay below tase. What are the kalot? A positive commandment and a negative commandment. Top line paper manala. Puts me lotisa. Except for the law of lotisa, we think like don't bear God's name in vain. Don't take a false shavua because we think it says lo yinat Hashem. Hashem will not absolve the person who takes his name in vain. So that sounds like in that brisa that for a low tasa, every low tasa with tshuva, I get kapara, even ones that are have five mile code. So the Gemara says, lotisa the called the damile. No, it means like lotisa and everything that's similar to lotisa. He says, it means the called the damile, that in other words, every lav gamur, I don't get kapara in the with tshuva. In other words, when the Mishnah says, in esev low tasa, quit me lotisa doesn't mean only lotisa. It means every lav in the Torah that's not nita klase, so I don't get kapara for. Okay, so that's going to be it for tonight. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'll see everybody tomorrow night at 7:15, okay? Let me just get this here.